Matthew 24. I've been preaching through the book of Matthew. So you can use your phone, iPad, or there's a Bible under the chair in front of you. If you come to this church, you're going to learn the Word, okay? This is our main textbook. If you don't have a Bible, I got hundreds of them. I can give you one. So Matthew 24. And the sermon is, and this is, it's somewhat depressing. When I was going over this is the signs. Jesus in Matthew 24 discusses the signs of the end of the age as we know it. And it's pretty sad what is going to occur before his coming. So I kind of was like depressed. I told my wife, oh, this is so sad. This is tough. And she says, oh, it's exciting because it means Jesus is coming back soon. Oh, by the way, later on at the end of the sermon will tell you when Jesus is coming back. But in Matthew 24, verse 36, says, no one knows about that day or hour of the return of Jesus, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son. I don't know, God, the Son of God, I guess he's God. He can do anything he wants. He even limits his knowledge of knowing when the Father is going to send him, but only the Father. So no one actually knows when Jesus is going to come back other than the Father. But at the end of the sermon, I'm going to give you a shot when I think he's coming back, okay? That's to wind you up a little bit. All right, Matthew 24, starting in verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Verse 9. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. All right, we're going to stop here. We'll continue on next week, but I'm not done with the sermon. I mean, reading the passage. So we're going to look at Matthew 24. There are 12 signs. Some of them are in Matthew. Some are going to be in the Gospel of Luke in the parallel passage. So sign number one is many antichrists will appear, deceive many. It's the first thing Jesus says in verse 4. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And believe it or not, there are more and more people around the world that are claiming they are Jesus, and I can't believe people are following them. Look, when Jesus says when he comes back, it's going to be in the clouds and there'll be lightning, there'll be no mistaking when it is the real Jesus. But I'll give you some examples. This guy's name is Day Jesus, and he started his ministry in Miami. He then moved it to Venezuela. His church had 100,000 people in it, and he has millions of followers worldwide. Now, I do have to tell you that a couple of years ago, he did die. Oh, by the way, he claimed he was Jesus. And all of his church believed that he was Jesus. He actually told them, forget the first Jesus that came with the Bible. I am now the actual Jesus. Now that he's died, his church is a little bit thrown off, and they're now calling him the heavenly Melchizedek. But he then told his church that they, and he did it himself, he put on his forearm 666. And he said, this is actually a good number. This is a number of wisdom. And if you are following me, you need to put 666 on you. And so literally hundreds and thousands of people tattooed 666 on their forearms. Now, if someone told you to tattoo 666 on you, would you do it? I'm like, how can these people not read their own Bible? I mean, in the book of Revelation, it was like, I just amazed that literally millions of people around the world believed he was Jesus and were putting 666 on themselves. I'm like, that's how crazy people are. Since 1900, over 1,100 significant people have claimed to be Jesus. And of course, this will culminate in the ultimate Antichrist that will appear in the future. Number two, wars. Wars. Verse 6, second sign, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen. Verse 7, nation is going to rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom and people against people. There's something in our sinful nature that we just can't help it, but we like to kill. We like to kill. I wish it wasn't true. So this is the world population. And I realize you probably can't see it. So let me help you out. I didn't meet Jesus until I was in college. I went to a secular college, and my degree is in biology and chemistry. I love science. And I love studying on the evolution creationist debate. I happen to be a creationist, but this is from the evolutionists themselves, and I just think this is humorous. This is kind of funny to me. This starts at 10,000 BC, where they believe that the population of the earth was very small, close to zero. Now, here's what doesn't make sense, and this is by the evolutionists. You could check it on your cell phone what the population was on the earth at 10,000 BC. Here's what's funny to me, if you follow the evolutionary theory. Now, you know that they have the different size men as we went from supposedly ape to Homo sapien. That process took 6 million years. But then Homo sapiens, that's us, with our brain capacity, that's modern day man, has been on the earth, according to the evolutionist, for at least 200,000 years. Okay? Now, I want you to think about this. If we were on the earth with our brain capacity for 200,000 years, would the population in 10,000 BC be next to zero? I don't believe it. Do you see how the population has grown in 12,000 years? Forget 200,000 years. In 12,000 years? Okay. So this is the other fascinating thing. So I don't know. I love studying this stuff. I'm reading this book written by an evolutionist, and he's a scientist, and they were debating, why is it that we went from caveman in 10,000 BC to the technological advancements that we are now? Why did that not happen in the first 200,000 years since they were all Homo sapiens with the same brain capacity that we all have? And the best that the scientists, the evolutionists can come up with is at 10,000 BC is when man discovered the ability to make the hammer motion. When we discovered how to make the hammer motion at 10,000 BC, that led to the advancement of where we are today. I just find that, I don't know where you're at, but I cannot believe that for 200,000 years, Homo sapiens couldn't figure out the hammer motion. How did they kill animals to eat? You mean they never got angry at someone and punched them and hurt? I'm like, but that's all they can come up with, because they can't explain why for 200,000 years man didn't advance at all. Like, yeah, maybe it's because we weren't around. Oh, anyway, get myself into trouble. At the time of Jesus, there was 200 million people on the earth at the time of Jesus. We're a warring people. Nations have been fighting against nations, and people against people, and races against races. There's something inside of us, a sinful human defect from the fall of man that we kill. It started with Satan. He's the father of murder. And it continues, and it only gets worse and worse and worse. It's interesting that Jesus predicted. You would have normally predicted, oh, as mankind goes on, it'll get more and more peaceful. There'll be less war. There'll be less hatred. There'll be less bombs. But in fact, Jesus was very accurate. In the last 100 years, in the 20th century, we have killed, just in wars, 187 million people. In fact, we basically have killed as many people in wars in the last 100 years than were on the earth at the time of Jesus when he spoke. And who knows what we're going to look forward to in the future. Third sign is famines. Jesus says in verse 7, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines. Now, this is one of the best pictures I could show because I couldn't actually show. I actually saw whole families, as famines are hitting different parts of the world, whole families that I couldn't show the pictures for kids in our church. I mean, it looked like prisoners in a Nazi concentration camp. And here's some statistics for you. Hunger kills more people each year than AIDS, malaria, tuberculosis combined. About 21,000 people die of hunger or related causes every day. Every day, 21,000 people from famines and hunger. Wow. Sign number 4, earthquakes. So Jesus says, same verse there, there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. So let me give you this chart here. These are all the major earthquakes, the number of major earthquakes. And I love people who have smartphones because you can check out every one of these. This is going to be fascinating for you. Here's the number of earthquakes since 1800. And by the way, I know you can't read that, but it significantly goes up at the year 2000. In fact, in the last 16 years, there's been more larger earthquakes than almost all of the 200 years before. Now, I'm reading on the scientists realize that there are more earthquakes occurring, and they're higher on the, what's the scale, Richter scale? They're higher. The only thing that they can figure out is they think for some reason the plates, the continental plates, are all shifting and moving for some reason, causing an increase in major earthquakes. Why it's suddenly happening after thousands of years, I don't know. But it's literally happening in the last 15 years. Earthquakes have increased in frequency and destructiveness during the 20th century. Between 1890 and 1950, there was an average 2 to 4 devastating earthquakes every year in the world. In the decade of the 50s, there were 9. During the 60s, there were 13. 70s, 51. During the 80s, 86. From 1990 to 1996, there were 150 damaging earthquakes recorded. Luke 21. So don't lose Matthew and come to Luke 21. It's a parallel passage in Luke. And there's a couple of things mentioned by the Apostle Luke that we need to look at. Luke 21. Gospel of Luke 21. Verse 7. Teacher, they ask, when will these things happen and what will be the sign that they are about to take place? He replied, watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and what? Pestilences. And pestilences in the Greek can be diseases. It's diseases that can either be transmitted from person to person or from insect or rats or plagues or kind of all fall under this. Six diseases are responsible for nearly 90% of infection-related deaths among people under 44 years of age. These are AIDS, malaria, tuberculosis, measles, diarrheal diseases, respiratory illness. In 1995, the World Health Organization said the world is ripe for super plagues of apocalyptic proportions. In 1996, Dr. Hiroshi Nakajima, the director of the World Health Organization, said, we are standing on the brink of a global crisis in infectious diseases. He went on to say, during the past 20 years, at least 30 new diseases have emerged to threaten the health of hundreds of millions of people. For many of these diseases, there is no treatment, cure, or vaccine. Diseases that have been around for centuries are popping up in incurable strains. And interestingly enough, yesterday was the first death of the Zika virus in the USA. And the first completely untreatable virus happened about, I don't know if you saw, 3 weeks ago from a person. I guess the Center for Disease Control has special antibiotics that they give to people when they have something that is a bacterial that's completely resistant, and they give them this special concoction that has always knocked it off. But the first person in the United States that has a completely resistant bacterial infection that even CDC couldn't help occurred 3 weeks ago. And where was that person? Does anyone know? In Pennsylvania, interesting enough. By the way, AIDS right now is the number one disease killer, and it's over the next 10 years, 100 million people in the world are going to die of AIDS. And it's interesting enough because it's one of the only diseases that you literally can protect yourself from by not sleeping around with someone else other than your spouse and doing it right and not, of course, using drugs and sharing needles or whatever. It's the one disease that, you know, you can protect yourself from. Please follow the word. Sixth sign, signs in the heavens. So Luke 21, verse 11, there will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places. And now this is interesting. I didn't put this in as one of the things. Do you have something and fearful events? Do you have that? Do you see that? So fearful events will occur that will just, I guess a fearful event is some event that just causes widespread fear. I think of 9-1-1. My wife and I, we remember that day we were at home and we were watching it on TV. Talk about fear. And we went rushing to the school to get our kids. And I mean, we're thinking it's the end of the world, right? Fearful, Dallas. I mean, all these things are kind of like just fearful events. And then it says great signs from heaven. Come to verse 25 of Luke chapter 21, verse 25. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. Let me just stop there. Somehow there's going to be heavenly signs in the sun, the moon, the stars. It could be in Revelation, it talks about asteroids coming. So scientists they actually are tracking about 1,000 asteroids that have a potential of hitting the Earth. NASA and the scientists track them. So it's estimated that the annual risk of a fatal asteroid impact is 1 in 90. This is in years. So one in every 90 years, an asteroid hits our planet, could hit our planet. When it does, an average of 120,000 people would die. So I'm reading the scientists. This is interesting. If an asteroid hits our planet that is 5 miles in diameter, which doesn't hit me as very big, right? If an asteroid hits our planet in 5 miles in diameter, our planet will no longer exist. We will all be dead. Most of the asteroids are under 1 mile in size. And a particular concern with tsunamis, when an asteroid hits the ocean, which covers about 70% of the planet, it can trigger a tsunami. According to the simulations by the Australian scientists, the average tsunami would kill 470,000 people. Verse 25 again. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. So the roaring and tossing of the sea. So I've now learned, I've actually learned more about this. Where do hurricanes come from? Where do they start? They start in the oceans. And what causes a hurricane? Warm water. Yeah. So I don't know if you want to be a believer in global warming or not. I mean, I know this is a debate and whatever. I happen to be that we are destroying our planet. But whatever, the water is warming up and it is creating more hurricanes and more turbulence. Just exactly what Jesus says. Amazing. That there'll be the roaring and tossing of the sea. And in fact, just to show you, I have a chart here in a second. Last month, and I checked this, President Obama called for every American to put together a disaster supply kit and evacuation plan because climate change is bringing more powerful and more devastating hurricanes to the U.S. Announcing the June 1st start of hurricane season, Obama warned Americans to prepare for imminent climate change-caused hurricanes. I personally believe that President Obama and world leaders have been meeting, I notice, pretty often through the years to discuss climate change. I personally don't think they're telling us everything that they know in order not to cause outright panic. So here is, since 1925, the increase in major hurricanes in the world. You notice something? That's why you can research this. So you are going to notice that wars have increased and people being killed. You're going to notice earthquakes have increased, famines increased, hurricanes have increased. Everything that Jesus said in the last 15 years has suddenly taken a huge upturn. One more thing I want to show you here, just to tell you how bad it will be. So Luke 21, verse 26 says, men, I would love to put in there, grown men. Men will faint with terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. It will be so terrifying that men will pass out from fear. All right, back to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Verse 9. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. So there'll be persecution of the believers, which is already occurring in so many places throughout the world. 450 Christians are killed for their faith each day. 200 million Christians are persecuted. 214 churches are destroyed each month. These are all the countries, and it's actually growing because as false religions keep growing in the world, they're becoming more anti-Christian, and so these are countries that persecute or put to death Christians. Ninth sign, there'll be a falling away. Verse 10, at that time many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. So there'll be a turning away of the faith. I don't know exactly what that means, but I do know that there are less and less Christians. Maybe there's a cleansing going on. I do know of the younger generations that 50 to 70% of them are saying they're atheists and they don't believe in God. And so they're definitely, in the United States, there definitely seems to be a falling away from the church. Whether they're actual believers or not, probably not. But there's a verse. I'll let you deal with it. 10th sign, increase of wickedness. Verse 12, because of the increase of wickedness. So the United States has increased in wickedness in the last 30 years. Like, I can't believe it. Whether it's abortion, whether it's accepting every ungodly lifestyle there is, whether it is killing, whether it is stealing and envy and hatred and disobedient to parents. It's like whatever the Ten Commandments are, we're going to mock them. We're going to go against it. The opposite of this would be righteousness. I don't know a country in the world that is preaching right living, following God's word and his commandments. The world is moving into wickedness like never before. 35 years ago, I would have never believed we'd be at where we're at today. But it's just growing. And, unfortunately, this leads to sign number 11. So, verse 12, and this one is for Christians. It says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. All the commentaries, all the experts believe that this is directly talking to Christians. That the love of most will grow cold. Because the word love there is agape. And it's only applied to Christians. So that because of the wickedness growing in the world, Christians' love for God grows cold. And I don't know what it is. Maybe we get embarrassed to stand up for Jesus. We get embarrassed to stand up for his word and his commands, and we don't, you know, we don't want to witness, and because we got to accept every sinful thing that comes down the pike, and so our love for Jesus grows cold. Kind of sad. I just think it is sad, and I do worry that the church in the United States, if not the world, is growing cold. That's why Jesus in Revelation said, "Ah, you've forsaken your first love. Do you remember the way you used to be? You need to repent, and you need to do the things you did at first. You need to get back on fire for God. You need to keep your love hot for the Lord." But in the end, because wickedness is growing all around, I don't know if we get sucked into it, we just accept it, we get carried along by it, but we're going to grow cold in our love for Jesus. 12th sign, which is kind of a positive one, the gospel will be preached in the whole world. Verse 14, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And I was thinking, you know, probably in the last 10, 15 years, literally the gospel can get to the whole world now. Through TV, through the internet. I'm telling you, people have cell phones in every country in the world. It's like this literally is the first time that the gospel can literally get to everyone in the whole world. And then the end is going to come. All right, so I want to give you my Toomey prediction. You've been waiting for this. I am going to tell you when Jesus is going to return. You're expected, right? Ready? All right, turn to Revelation, last chapter in Revelation, chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22. Verse 16. I know, you should never read the end of the book first. Revelation 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. Verse 18. This is Jesus speaking. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He, Jesus, verse 20, Jesus who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. And the church says, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. So here's my Toomey prediction. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. I do have to close. Come back to Matthew 24. I do want to close with one before I let you go. And we have a special song that Jeannie Allen wrote, and it fits. We've been trying to have her come sing this, and we originally thought she would sing it for 4th of July, and she couldn't make it then. And so she wound up singing it today, and it like, hey, wait, that fits the message. Especially the second verse for the Christians and not letting the love grow cold. Matthew 24, when Jesus comes in verse 31. Does everyone see Matthew 24, verse 31? And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. You know, the bottom line is, every person has to make a decision if you're going to be a believer or not. Because when Jesus comes back, I just think it's amazing that 2,000 years ago, he predicted how bad things would get with earthquakes, pestilences, famines, you know, fearful events, wars, all this stuff that's so accurate. You would think that 2,000 years ago, you would say, oh, the world will get better and better and better. But it's exactly what Jesus said. He's coming back soon, and everyone has to make a decision. When Jesus comes back, he's going to send out his angels. Hey, gather up the believers. Gather them up. If you've given your heart to Jesus, you're gathered up. And if you haven't, it's another sermon, not good news. Are you ready for Jesus to come back? Have you given your heart to him? Let's bow our heads. And maybe there's someone here this morning that you've actually, maybe you went to church. When I went to church, we would always say, Christ has died, hallelujah, Christ is buried, and Christ is coming again. So he is coming. But you actually need to have a personal relationship with him now before he comes. That's my advice. And maybe there's someone here that you've never repented of your sins and repented of living your life without God, and you're ready to ask Jesus Christ to come in and be your Savior. I'm going to pray a prayer out loud, and I want to invite you to pray along with me that you can give your heart to Jesus this morning and know that you belong to him. I wish I could tell you I'm going to save you from every pain that's going to happen in the world. I'm not, but ultimately, you're going to be with Jesus in heaven. He wins in the end. So if you're ready this morning to give your heart to Jesus, I don't know of any Christian that's regretted meeting their Savior. I'm going to pray a prayer out loud. You pray along with me silently. Lord Jesus, I confess that I am a sinful person. I lie. I have anger. I've been sexually immoral, lusted, stolen, have not obeyed authorities, have dishonored the Sabbath, have used your name in vain, have coveted. Lord, I am a sinful person. But thank you for going to the cross. Thank you for taking my sins upon yourself and suffering hell in my place. Lord Jesus, I open my heart and ask you to come into my life to be my Savior and Lord. Forgive me of my sins and help me to live for you this day forward. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I always like to pray a brief prayer blessing over those who have given their heart to the Lord. If you prayed, those of you that prayed that prayer, if you just slip your hand up for a second, I want to see you put it down, and then I want to pray a prayer for you and over you. Anyone that prayed that prayer with me, I would just slip your hand up, and then after I see you, God bless you three. Anyone else other than these three? Anyone else? Just slip your hand up and then put it down, and then I'm going to pray. Anyone else? I see you, sister. Father, I pray for these three individuals, and may they really sense your presence in their life. May you give them the assurance of salvation. May they not doubt that they belong to you, and fill them with your Spirit and bless their life in a special way. May they really get to know Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Jeannie?
Wake up, America. Wake up, America. Get on your knees, America. It's time to pray. Wake up, America. Wake up, America. Get on your knees, America. It's time to pray. Lift high that cross again. Don't let our freedoms end. Get on your knees, America. It's time to pray. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, then I shall hear from heaven above and heal their land and restore their love to me. Lift high that cross again. Don't let our freedoms end. Send down your fire, Lord, on me. Wake up, America. I said, wake up, America. Get on your knees, America. It's time to pray. Come pray today. It's time to pray. Amen.
All right.